We are learning Brachos Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. I didn't want to record this one. Okay, but whatever. Okay, the recording's on. Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. So we are up to top line of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. Nachon. Vehecham Manach Lehu. So we're talking about the tefillin in bed. Remember we said that it's better for the tefillin to be exposed to an inappropriate environment rather than for them to be left unprotected. So better for them to be in bed, even with Ishto Imo, even with the wife with the person, rather than for them to be left to the Achbarim and the Ganavim. The Shmira is most important. So if the tefillin are in bed, where exactly do you put them? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Bein Kar Lakesa Shalo Keneged Rosho, between the sheet and the pillow, but not directly under your head. It should be like a little bit off to the side from your head. But didn't Rabbi Chia teach us that you put it in directly underneath your head, bakova in its covering, in its box, directly under your head? So no, the case is that the tefillin are sticking a little bit outside of the box that they're normally in. Bar kapara tsayer luhu bekilta umapik lemorshe in lebar. Bar kapara used to wrap it in the canopy that used to be spread around the bed. So you'd wrap the tefillin and you'd have the kesher of the tefillin facing the outside of the bed, not facing toward the inside of the bed, I guess as a way of putting it in a slightly more respectful type of environment. Rav Shisha Breid Ravidi, Manachlu Ashar Shifa, he would put it down on a bench, Uparis Sudra Ilavahu, and he would spread a cloth over the tefillin. The point is, even if it's got to be in a bedroom where a man and his wife are going to be together in that room, still at least cover it with something. Try to maintain some sense of the dignity and the covet of the tefillin. Amar Rav Amnuna Breid Rav Yosef, Zimna Chadava Ki Imna Kamei De Rava. One time I was standing in front of Rava. Va'amar Li, and he said, Zil Aisi Li Tefillin. He said, go get me my tefillin. Bring me my tefillin. Vashkachtinu Bin Kar L'Kesa Shlo K'Neged Rosho. And guess where I found his tefillin? They were in his bedroom, between the sheet and the pillow, but not directly where he rests his head, a little bit off to the side of the pillow, meaning exactly where Rabbi Yirmiyah had suggested on the second line of this Amud to place the tefillin. But here's the thing. I happen to have been privy to the information that day was the day of Tvila. Whose day of Tvila? Says Rashi, Yom Shenitbala Ishto, the day that his wife went to the mikveh. Who cares that it was the day his wife went to the mikveh? Says Rashi, Davale Lel Tashmish. There's a mitzvah's ona on the night that a wife goes to the mikveh, so it was the night of Tashmish. And nevertheless, where were his tefillin? Right there in his bed, under his pillow, the tefillin right there, even though it was Lel Tashmish. Why did he ask me to get his tefillin? La'agmuran halach lamaisuhu da'avad. He wanted in a very delicate way to teach me the halacha. He knew that I knew that it was Lel Tzvila. So he said, go get my tefillin. I would see where he keeps his tefillin. And he's going to I'd be able to figure out what the halacha is. Namely, like we closed the shir with yesterday, that the halacha is that you got to protect the tefillin at all costs. Even if it's going to be in a room where a man is together with his wife, you still need to protect the tefillin. That has to come first. It happens to be the Ramah quotes in Shulchan Aruch that one is not supposed to share the information of when one's wife's tevila is. That's not supposed to be something that is spoken about. We don't talk about when the tevila is. But in some way, he must have known that it was Yom Tevila Hava. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Nida that there used to be when a woman was in Nida and people had to be very careful about Tumah and Tahara. They had to keep their Truma away. They had to make sure that whatever seat a Nida sits on becomes a Moshav Nida. You have to be very careful of a lot of Tumah related issues. So women used to wear big denidos. They used to wear a beged that would make it evident that they are they'd have special clothing that would make it evident that they are in nida. So even though we don't talk about the tevila, you don't have to be you don't have to be a genius to figure out when the tevila was, when she's no longer wearing the big denidos. So then you know when the tevila was. So that likely is what happened over here, that he knew it was the little tevila because he saw the next day the wife wasn't wearing the big denidos anymore. Baimine Rav Yosef Bered Rav Nechunya Merav Yehuda. Meaning, even though everyone can know when the Leil Tefillah is, you still don't talk about it, because there's something called Nivul Peh. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Ksubas, I think around Dav Zayin or so, that HaKol Yodin Kala Lama Nichnas HaLechupah. Everyone is well aware what happens on the wedding night, but Kala Menaval Piv, Yotzei Davar Maguna Mipiv. Someone who's going to speak about such things and have a Davar Maguna come out from his mouth to speak about such things, the Gemara says, even if he has a Gzar Din, Shal Shivim Shana Latova, is Nepach Halav L'Ra'ah. That even if he had a Gzar Din of 70 good years for 70 good years of life, his whole life will turn bad. It will all turn bad for Nivul Peh. Nivul Peh very often is misused. People think the word Nivul Peh means the two words you're not allowed to, you're still not allowed to say on television. It used to be five words. Now, so the two words you're still not allowed to say on television. So that's not what Nivul Peh means. That's Stam. That's not speaking in Lishna Nikiya. That's a different sugya at the beginning of Maseches Pesachim. Nivul Peh means to speak about intimate matters. So we don't talk about these things even if we are aware of these things. Of Yosef. So main point number one. The Gemara describes how to keep the tefillin in the bed. In the most appropriate way. So, okay, we had all these different opinions. We're not going to go through them now. Let's say you have two people, two men, that are both sleeping in the same bed. Can each one turn away from the other one and just face the other direction and say Kriya Shema? Well, you know, Shmuel said, with your wife in bed, you're allowed to say Kriya Shema. So why would it be any different if it was somebody else? Rav Yosef, Ishto v'lomi bayacher. Do you really think when Shmuel said that with your wife it's okay, he meant with your wife and for sure other people? No, adraba, Ishto kigufo, acher lav kigufo. Your wife is like you. You're much less concerned about the inappropriate hirhurim that might come up when your wife is in bed with you than with somebody else. Because your wife, your Rashi points out, ishto kegufo doesn't mean in the conventional sense of how we use ishto kegufo, like in Ilchus Eidus, Rashi writes, v'ragilba. It means that you're used to her, v'leki hira kulei. So it's not a major event that she's undressed. So it's not going to be something that's going to cause him hirhurim. But other people, where it's something that's an unusual thing, so it's more likely to be problematic if it were other people. And therefore, you can't bring a raya from Ishto. That's our Hanukkah coincidence. Ishto Kigufo is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Hanukkah. Why is Ishto Kigufo quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Hanukkah? Good. Married women, many, many married women have the minhag not to light their own Chanukiah, even if they are the Mahadrin min a Mahadrin, where you light connected called the Ne'abayas. And the Svara given by the Mishnah Berurah, quoted from the Eliyahu Rabbah and others, is that Ishto Kigufo. So, okay, so that's our Hanukkah connection for today. Meisvei, so ask the Gemara, wait a second, Shnayim, Sheishenu B'mita Achas, Zeb Machzir Panav HaKorei, V'Zeb Machzir Panav HaKorei. We have a brisa that says that if two people are sleeping in the same bed, each of them could turn the other way, and they could say Kriya Shema, V'Tanya Achriti, and we have another brisa, Yashin B'mita Banav B'nei Beisho B'tzido, a person is sleeping in the bed, and his family is with him. He should not say Kriya Shema unless there is a talis that divides between the various family members. But if all the family members were young children, then it would be mutter. So Bish Lam Rav Yosef Lokasha. According to Rav Yosef, this is not a stira. Why would it be a stira? Because we just said that if you have two people in bed, each guy can just turn the other way. And then we have another brisa that says, no, if you have adults there, you have people who are not ketanim there, you need an actual mechitza. It's not enough to just turn away. So according to Rav Yosef, who said that that Ishto is not like everybody else, not a kasha. Habi Ishto, haba acher. By Ishto, we're not worried, you don't need a mechitza. By other people, you do need a mechitza. Why by Ishto do we not need a mechitza? Ishto ke kufo. El Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, who assumes that your wife is the same as everybody else with regard to these halachos, kasha. So how are we going to reconcile these two brisos? Amar lecha Shmuel, Shmuel would tell you Rav Yosef minicha. Why, you think Rav Yosef doesn't have any problems here? Vatanya, I'll bring you another brisa. Hayashin b'mita, a person was sleeping in a bed. And what is the bach ad over here? Ubnei beso, leaves out banav, ubnei beso b'mita. and his family is in the bed. Lo yikra kriya shema elam kenoisa talisa mavsekes beinayim. You cannot say kriya shema unless there is a mechitza between you. So and b'nei beiso means including ishto. So if you have any b'nei bais, even just ishto, even Rav Yosef has to acknowledge that there is a braisa that says that you need a mechitza. So Rav Yosef anyway is going to have a problem with stiros between the braisos, because it's true that he reconciled the last stira by saying, oh, with ishto you don't need a mechitza, with other people you do. But here we have another braisa that's almost explicitly talking about ishto, and you do need a mechitza. So what you have to say is that according to Rav Yosef, the Tanaim disagree about what you have to do when your wife is there. So l'didinami Tanaihi, I also hold that it's a machlokas Tanaim. So don't ask me stiras and braisas and what am I going to do with them. Not a stira, it's a machlokas. We have machlokas and Tanaim all the time. Obviously the assumption of this entire discussion, of this entire conversation, and the conversation we're about to have, is that nobody's wearing clothing. It used to be that people, when they were in bed, did not wear clothing, but when they went in the street, they did wear clothing. Nowadays, when people are in bed, they wear some sort of clothing. It's only when they go out in the streets that they no longer wear clothing. So it used to be that it was different. So says main point number two. Let's see. Machlokas amoraim, whether one needs to take more precautions with other people than with ishto, than with one's wife, with reading Kriya Shema in front of other people than in front of Kriya Shema, than reading Kriya Shema in front of one's wife. Amar mar, ze machzir part of a kori Kriya Shema. So we said in the braisa that if two people are in the same bed, each one could turn the other way and they could say Kriya Shema. Frak the Gemara v'ha'ika agavos. Are you really solving the problem? Meaning you think you've, by each one turning away from the other, they're not going to see any embarrassing part, they're not going to be exposed to any embarrassing part of the other person's body. What about one's backside? Isn't that also, like, not good? Rav Huna holds that does not have a din of erva, and therefore one would be allowed to say Kriya Shema in its presence. We have a riot to Rav Huna because the Mishnah Maseches Chala teaches us Ha'isha Yosheves V'kotzala Chalasa. A woman can sit and be Mafresh Chala Aruma even if she is totally unclothed. Because she can cover her erva in the ground by sitting on the ground. She's biologically made that way. Avaloha ish. But a man sitting on the ground, it does not cover his erva, and therefore he cannot be mafreshchala sitting down. What's the issue about being mafreshchala? What would be the problem? I have to say a bracha on afrashas chala. So the bracha cannot be recited by the man, but can be recited by a woman, even though she's aruma. Says the Magen Avraham in Simin Ches. Simin Ches in Aruch Chaim is Hilchos Wat. Tzitzis. In Hilchos Tzitzis, says the Magen Avraham, I don't understand what is going on over here. The Beis Yosef in Simin Ches writes that when one recites a Birchas HaMitzvah, they should recite the Birchas HaMitzvah standing up. Oh, the woman is definitely not allowed to stand up and be kotzal achala. So the Magen Avraham says this is difficult. Birchas HaMitzvah normally require amida. So what you have to say is that afrashas chala is for some reason different. Maybe when you have no choice, or maybe Magen Avraham suggests maybe afrashas chala is not a mitzvah per se. It's more of a matir. What's the difference between a mitzvah and a matir? There's an Isser Tevel on the dough until you're mafresh the challah, so you're just being matir the challah ba'achila, but still it would seem that the brachas are sharki d'shanim and mitzvos of tzivanim, so it's still a little difficult. It still sounds like a birchas mitzvah, it's not a birchas, it's a sharki d'shanim and mitzvos of tzivanim. Okay, says the Gemara further. Tirgum of Nachum bar Yitzchak, so bottom line is, what you see from there is that agavos do not have a status of erva, because that's not hidden in the ground. Tirgum Rav Nachman Yisrael is going to show you Panela Tochos Bekarka. So Gemara says, no, the case is that she's in like sand. So it is under the ground, and therefore it's not exposed. So main point number three, agavos are not considered erva. I'm not going to translate it now because it would feel weird screaming that in a base medrash. Are not considered erva, and women are allowed to be mafreshchala arumos, sitting down. Omar, we had previously stated, if the kids are little, mutter. Then you're allowed to say kriyashma, you don't have to worry about the erva if the kids are little. Viad kama, how little is little? Amar of chisla, tinokas bashal shonu v'yamechad, v'tinok bentash shonu v'yamechad. Girl under the age of 3, boy under the age of 9. That's not considered erva. So, little babies, sometimes they take their diapers off and run around, right? That is not considered erva. Ikeda amri, others say, tinokes bas yud alif shana v'yom echad, v'tinok ben shteim esre shana v'yom echad. That up until the ages of 11 and 12, respectively, it's not considered erva. Idi v'idi, but everyone agrees, even if you're going to go as late as the ages of 11 and 12, ad kedei shadayim nechanu sarech samech, that once the child hits the age of puberty, where they're physically developing, even below those ages that we may have just given, it's for sure considered erva. Amalei Rav Kan Ravashi, Hasab Amarava Afal Gav Dityufta Dishmuel Hilchas Kavasei Dishmuel Hachamai. Previously, what we ended yesterday's shiur with was that even though it was a double tiyufta on Shmuel, remember we discussed the Maritz Chayis, that we still paskened like him. Now, what that you're allowed to have your tefillin in the bed, ishto imo, and the tefillin could be in the bed. But what about over here? Right over here, how do we paskin? Samalei atu kulu b'chad machta machtinu. What, you think all of these conversations are all linked with each other? They're all part of the same fabric, the same cloth? Wherever we have a tradition that we're supposed to paskin like Shmuel, that's how we paskin. And whenever we don't have such a statement, like over here, when we're talking about two people that are sleeping in the same bed, where Shmuel allows be ishto imot, say kriya shma, so we don't necessarily paskin that way. Amalei Rav Mari Rav Papa, seyar yotzi bebigdo mahu, karale seyar seyar. Let's say a person's erva is not exposed, but the hair around the erva is creeping out of the beged. So is that considered like erva itself? Says the Gemara, the Rav Papa responded, hair here, hair there, hair whatever. It doesn't mean anything. It's no big deal. It's just hair. Omer of Yitzchak, very famous line, three words. Tefach ba'isha erva. A tefach of a woman's body is considered erva. And therefore, one is not allowed to recite Kriya Shema or Brachos or anything like that in front of an exposed tefach of a woman's body. So what, every woman has to wear a burqa? No, the answer is not yes, Ben. what's the answer? A tefach of what? It has to be a tefach of a part of the body that normally is supposed to be covered, meaning a tefach of, right? Not just any random tefach of the body. Now, wait a second. Does that mean a woman is allowed to expose less up until a tefach of parts of her body that are normally that normally must be covered? No, you're still not allowed to have hirhurim and be mistakel at even what? At even less than what? Right, so that's what I'm trying to say. The isra of istaklus and the requirement is even on less than a tevach, but it's only erva in the sense that you're not allowed to say kriya shema or brachos in front of it when it is a tevach. Lamai. So as Gemara spells it out, ilem l'stakuleba. If it's about your isra istaklus, that you're not allowed to gaze at a woman's beauty. When it comes to istaklus, then you're not allowed to gaze at any part of her body, even the etzpa ketana of an isha. It's like looking at the most private parts of her body. No, we're talking about a person where there's no isra of istaklus. But with regard to Kriya Shema, you can't say Dvarim Shema Kedusha even in front of one's own wife when she has a tefach megula. It's a major question, though. Like, what about a woman's hair? Can you say a bracha in front of a married woman's uncovered hair? Pashut pshat, pashut reading of the Gemara? It should be no. It should be aser because that's a tefach. We're about to say that seir be isha erva. That's considered part of the body that's supposed to be covered. So many poskim are mekel nowadays because there's less of a concern of it's something that's so naturally exposed by women all the time in society that no one ever has any hirurim, and maybe it loses a little bit of that status. Not with regard to the chiyuv to cover it, but at least with regard to saying kriyashma in front of it. By hair, perhaps. By hair with regard to kriyashma, not with regard to the obligation to cover it, nor with regard to other erva. So it's dafka. Amar Rav Chista, shok bi isha erva. The part of the leg that's called the shok is erva. Which part of the leg is called the shok? Major machlokes. Which part of the leg is called the shok? If you look in the Gemara's and Maseches Chulin that describe the different parts of an animal, and you try to figure out which part of the animal's leg is called the shok, it seems that it's in fact the lower part of the leg. Yet Mishnah Berurah assumes that when it comes to shok b'isha erva, it's referring to the upper part of the leg, and that the lower part. So major machlokes Mishnah Berurah Chazanish, what shok b'isha erva includes? Shenamar gali shok ivri naharos. Uksiv tagel ervascha v'gam tira cherpascha. Omar Shmuel, kol b'isha erva. What's kol b'isha erva? A voice of a woman is erva. Shenamar ki kolich arev marech navat. In Shir Hashirim, it describes the beauty of a woman, and it says a beautiful voice. Amar Avsheshes, Seyar b'isha erva. Hair of a woman is erva. Shenamar, because the pasuk also describing the beauty of a woman, Sa'areich ke'eder ha'izim, describes the beauty of her hair. So, main point number, what are we up to, four? A tefach with regard to kriyashma, and hair, shok, and kol are all erva. A tefach with regard to kriyashma, and hair, shok, and kol all have the status of erva. So you could spend a lot of time in those last few lines of Gemara figuring out exactly what the halachos are of shok b'isha erva, what exactly the halachos are of kol b'isha erva. For example, what are the major questions that come up about kol b'isha erva? What? A recorded call. Is that called erva objectively, that there's erva there, or it's just a mechanical recording? Or what if you have a trei kali lo mishtami, you can't hear two voices at the same time, so maybe when they're together it loses the status of erva in some way because you can't hear them? You know, these kinds of questions. It only says a voice. It doesn't even say the singing voice. So what do we do about that? Or what about, let's say, girls from a seminary get together and decide to make a rap song, right? So is that a song, or what about girls on a trip, on a school trip, and they want to sing on the bus, the wheels on the bus go, right? And there's a driver on the bus, and the driver is male. May they sing in front of the driver? Do we assume that that he's tarid ba'avodase? He's too busy with his work to be maharer. These are the voices. He can't see them. Well, he looks in the mirror and says, "Sit down." You know, right? Isn't that what drivers do? Okay. There are a lot of questions that come up. Shok, obviously, major questions: which part of the leg the shok is, and what they have to be covered with exactly. Stockings or an actual skirt or pants, and these kinds of things. Yeah, a lot of discussions that one could have over here. What does mistakel mean? Call him mistakel bets b'katana shalisha. You know, some of the poskim said they discussed whether you have to make a bracha when you see the Queen of England, because you're supposed to say a bracha when you see the king. So one of the poskim says, what do you mean see the Queen of England? You're not allowed to be mistakel at a woman. So the pashut answer is, you're allowed to see a woman. You're just not allowed to be Mistakel. What's mistakelo? How much gazing is mistakel? All right, I'm Rabbi Chanina. Anira Isias Rebbe. I saw Rebbe Shatala Tfilav, that he hung his tefillin, meaning he would just hang up his tefillin like on a hook. Meisvei, I told Tfilav Yitzlo Chayav, I, but I thought if you hang your tefillin, your life is going to hang in the balance. Dorshe Chamuros Amru, those who darshan these things said, Vayu Chalecha Tulum Lechaminegad, Zeh Tola Tfilav. That it's if you hang your tefillin, it's like you're hanging your life. Says Malo Kasha, Haber Ritzua Haber Ktsitsa. It depends what you hang it by. If you hang it by the Ritzua where the Ktsitsa is hanging down, meaning where the bias is hanging down, that's totally disrespectful. But if the bias is actually on the hook and the Ritzua is hanging loose, that's not so bad. Viva Yisema, another possible answer, Loshna Ritzua, Loshna Ktsitsa, Asir. Either way, it's Asir. What was Rebbe doing? V'chitala Rebbe, Bekista Tala. He hung it, but it was already in its pouch, so it was covered. Yachim al the member. Then what's the chiddush? Of course, you're allowed to do that. Maldetema tibay hanacha kasefer Torah. I might have thought that you need to place it on something like a sefer Torah, even a sefer Torah that's in its mantle, that's in its covering. You may not hang the sefer Torah. So I would have thought tefillin is the same. Kam mashmalan. Therefore, teaches me otherwise. Last main point: one may not hang tefillin by the ritzuos. And we have a machlokas whether you could hang it by the button. But if it's covered, it's for sure okay.